I felt like I was unsure most of the time how to use my voice in industry. I didn't know when to, you know, chip in meetings, how to contribute, how to feel part of the team. So university does a really good job at like teaching you how to like pass, but it doesn't actually in a way help you navigate the industry.
Welcome to Where It's At, the podcast from CIET, shining a spotlight on the future-focused design discipline of architectural technology. Know someone who could benefit from listening? Subscribe and share this episode with your network.
Hello, I'm Roisin Ní Chathain, Chartered Architectural Technologist and Partner at BPTW, and I'll be your host for this episode of Where It's At. Today we're diving into a topic that resonates with so many: life after university. That moment when the structure of education falls away and the reality of the profession begins. I'm joined by Charlotte Oma-Edo, an architectural technologist on a mission to bridge the gap between education and practice. As a founder of LAU Arc, Life After Uni Architecture, Charlotte is creating spaces for honest conversations and meaningful connections, helping students and early career professionals to navigate what can often feel like an uncertain and sometimes gatekept industry. Charlotte's work is all about empowering the next generation to build confidence, find their voice, and shape their place within the built environment. So welcome, Charlotte, to Where It's At.
Thank you so much for that introduction, Roisin.
Good. I hope I've captured it well. So what we might start is what inspired you to create Life After Uni?
Thank you so much. This is such a full circle moment for me from watching and following like some of the conversations on Where It's At and to actually be here. So I'm really glad to be a part of it. To answer your question, so what inspired me to create a Life After Uni Architecture is because when I left university, I felt like I was qualified, but not necessarily prepared for industry. And so for me, Life After Uni Architecture came from a very real and I guess a personal place where I just felt lost. Like I finished university and I got a first class degree and I thought, you know, that was like my golden ticket to whatever it is, any job that I could get in industry. And that wasn't quite the reality of it. And so I remember feeling like very lost and very confused, and I had not much direction, and I wasn't sure where to, I guess, access information or resources to sort of help me steer myself in the right direction that I wanted. And so I found that you sort of spend a lot of time in university in a structured environment, and then all of a sudden you're in industry and it's not like that. You're, you know, all of that disappears. There's no deadlines. Well, you do have deadlines, but it's not like coursework deadlines, and it's actual deadlines and the expectations, and you know, it's not the model making and the design project that you had at university. It's, you know, it's real.
Yes.
So, yeah, exactly. And so I realized that very quickly, that being qualified with my degree didn't necessarily mean that I was prepared for industry. And so there were so many things, you know, that I just felt like wasn't being spoken about enough. And I kind of remember thinking like, why isn't anyone speaking about this? Why aren't there any platforms or, you know, initiatives sort of helping university students or graduates rather to transition smoothly from university to practice? And so, Life After Uni Architecture started as a way to sort of create a space to help people feel, I guess, have honest conversations, be able to ask questions. I guess at the core of it, it's more about accessibility. It's about being approachable, having a relatable voice that you can feel like you resonate with. And so just having real conversations and having an honest space that you can come to and grow. That's what it looks like, really.
I mean, yeah, it does resonate with us all, because it's really hard if you've never worked in this environment. How what do you expect? And, you know, where do you go from there? And I guess bridging that gap.
Exactly.
What does that look like? What does bridging the gap look like?
So university does a really good job at like teaching you how to like pass, but it doesn't actually in a way help you navigate the industry. And so I think the gap sort of shows up in a few different ways. I'd probably say I noticed, like, technical knowledge was a really big one for me. Like, I had like the foundations of understanding some of the basic things for architecture, but then applying that into practice, I didn't really know about the building regulations. I didn't know about the design standards or the British standards and how you actually apply that in practice. And so I then quickly realized that I'm working with clients. They are constraints. We do have budgets. And so it's completely different to what I experience in university.
And every student has a different way, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. Every student has a different way to sort of, I guess, get that knowledge that you need to acquire it. But then there's also like a confidence gap, I would say.
Yeah. So I was going to say every uni is different as well, aren't they?
Yeah, every university is different and teachers slightly different. And so you come out slightly different as well. I would... Yeah, another thing that I thought as well was a gap was confidence. A lot of graduates, I can say for myself, I felt like I was unsure most of the time how to use my voice in industry. I didn't know when to, you know, chip in meetings, how to contribute, how to feel part of the team. And, you know, you start early in your career with so many aspirations and you sort of go in like, I'm the most inexperienced person right now and I don't know how to apply this. Yeah, that's genuinely how I felt. And so...
You think you know it all.
Yeah, you think. I thought I knew what I needed to know and I clearly didn't. And so, yeah, you sort of feel like, do you have permission to sort of speak because you don't have, you know, the experience or the knowledge. And so it's just finding your voice during those early stages. And then I'd say lastly, just a knowledge gap around the industry itself. So like career pathways and like chartership, like I didn't really understand, you know, how to the route to chartership and, you know, some of the struggles and challenges that you face in the industry whilst you're navigating it quite early on and just understanding how to position yourself correctly. And maybe even opportunities to go beyond the traditional route of architecture, like sometimes, or architectural technology, sometimes, you know, the traditional route doesn't quite suit anymore. And then you find another way to navigate and another pathway.
And more we're finding that, aren't we, that everything is changing. It's always changing.
Yeah, everything is changing. Yeah,
really hard in our industry because what we learn is forever changing. And you have to try and keep up with that. And that's really difficult to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And I think
forever
just
changing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Especially those regulations. You just touched, you touched a little bit on the kind of gatekeeping kind of in that bit. What, like, how are you trying to break down those barriers and what do you see? Or, because it's really interesting because we're, you know, we're out of industry, are out of uni quite a while now. I mean, I'm a lot longer out than you are. But what are those things? That'd be so helpful for people to know.
I don't think the industry's, in a sense, lacking talent. I think it's just access. And so one of the ways I'd say, I think the barriers come from access, information, visibility. And there are a lot of opportunities in this industry, but you just don't necessarily see them or know how to find them. And a lot of people still think, you know, you need to rely on like who you know and like, I guess, a network to sort of get your first job or your first role. And you can feel sort of behind. So that is probably a way that I would say the industry can feel gatekept. There's also like, I'd say, a lack of transparency. So just going back to chartership, I don't feel like I understood or saw anyone's journey really to chartership. I mean, on LinkedIn, we see, I just qualified, I just got my chartership, and you don't actually see the journey. You don't see the struggles. You don't see the challenges or what mistakes they had probably made so that, you know, I could learn from it maybe. And so I guess there's an illusion that everyone sort of has it figured out in the industry. Like you just see, you don't see the middle bit or the messy bit. It just goes straight to sort of having that figured out. And so what I'm doing with Life After Uni is intentionally creating a space where people can come to workshops, I have one-to-one conversations with some students and early careers and sort of help them to navigate how to, you know, show up to these spaces, how to prepare for interviews, or like having CV portfolio workshops as well, and not necessarily just feeling stuck or alone. Like you can, you know, there is a community of people and like there are, you aren't alone basically. Like you can sort of have a group that you can do this with. But yeah, it's just normalizing this sort of conversation in the industry as a whole, I'd say.
And then how do you kind of access these people, or how do they get to know about Life After Architecture or Life After Uni? How do you bridge that community gap, I guess?
One way is visibility, I'd say. So I recently started using LinkedIn as a platform to, I guess, advocate for the voices for early careers and graduates. And what I'm doing is just amplifying the journey and what I've experienced and, I guess, my mistakes and the challenges, and just showing that sort of transparency through that platform. So via putting out workshops, so I would put a flyer out and say, I'm holding a webinar. And so you can join the webinar and then you can come and ask the questions that you feel like may be silly or you just feel too afraid to ask. I also recently held a architecture walking tour and four ladies joined me with the Open City. And that was a really good experience for some of them who had never actually done an architecture walking tour, but you'd think that would be included in your degree.
Good point.
But yeah, it was a first experience for some of them. But I guess things like this is where they start to, when they're in these spaces, that's what allows them to see that there are more opportunities, and it helps them to feel more confident and, I guess, make better decisions in their career as a whole.
Yeah, and I think that you talked about, it's a great way to kind of people to open up and have those honest conversations, yes. We'll say. So what are some of the challenges that, have you got ones back that you weren't expecting? Is there some of the challenges people have said, well, I have this, how do I cope with this? Have you had any kind of interesting questions?
Interestingly, I think there's loads. I mean, look, some of the questions are questions that I sort of asked whilst I was still in early career and navigating. And so I'd say the questions like, am I good enough? Is this what I actually want to do? Is this the right path? Like, how do I speak up in meetings? How do I contribute effectively without feeling, intimidated? How do I progress in my career? I guess questions like that. And it's not necessarily that the questions aren't what people are thinking. It's just that people aren't actually asking the questions.
Afraid to ask.
Because they don't feel like there's a space. Yeah. There's a space to actually ask those questions. And so I think the common thread is fear. Fear of, sort of looking inexperienced. Fear of, being judged. Or, it's...
Should I know this already?
Should I already know this? And I guess once one person has asked a question, you sort of start to realize that other people actually can resonate and, they share the same sort of sentiment with you.
Yeah. And it's always, I find the fact that I don't mind asking what people perceive as the stupid question, because it's not a stupid question, because I'm pretty sure we all have the same questions. So it is kind of just making it really comfortable
for people.
Someone's
thinking it. Yeah, exactly.
And when it's said, it's probably not a stupid question. It's probably a really valid question. I think it's great because we don't have that kind of, it's how you facilitate that. And I think it's brilliant because, I mean, we have it every day, don't we? Kind of even here, more junior members are, a bit reluctant to ask something. And how do you build that confidence in people? It probably is confidence.
It's
a lot of it, isn't it? And to be fair, architecture is quite a specialized role, isn't it? So there's stuff we're not going to know.
It is. So it's always changing. So Absolutely.
Yeah. And I guess through your kind of the webinars, this is a really exciting question. What kind of transformation are you seeing in the kind of that engagement with people?
Know someone with a story to tell or a topic to explore? Email atpodcast@ciat.global to nominate a guest or a topic.
The biggest transformation I'm seeing is confidence, is that people feel like they can now put their CV together. They can go into interviews and speak confidently on some of the things that they have used. So, for example, they may have only used Revit once, but all throughout their degree, and then they feel like, I probably haven't used it enough, so I don't know industry standard Revit. But you can use the small amount of knowledge that you have already and sort of just leverage on that. I've seen people go from feeling like they don't belong or they're doing this on their own to they actually have a community that they can speak to. And from just having these conversations or even going on the architecture walking tour, some of them have connected, and that's now building a network for themselves. And I guess them resharing some of my posts on LinkedIn is also helping other people see this. So it's kind of like a spiral effect, and it's allowing other people to see, I guess, again, visibility, seeing this information, the resources that you need, and then it helps just build clarity. And I'd say lastly, direction. I've seen a lot of them feel like, okay, so now I have a clear direction of where I want to go or what I want to do. I can like go and sit down and plan what I want to perhaps see the next 5 years or what I want to do the next 2 to 3 years. And it helps them sort of sift out what they want to do, what they don't want to do, what they like or what they don't like. But I always say it's good to, early career is probably the best time to sort of, you know, find out the things that you like and don't like and experiment and figure it all out there. And I think the greatest shift is basically going from confusion to clarity as a whole.
That's really helpful.
Which is really powerful.
Yeah. And as you said, you need to kind of make mistakes and find out what you like or don't like at very early stages because you don't have that opportunity later.
Yeah, later on. Yeah. It's quite difficult.
It's very difficult. And I guess kind of feeding on from that, and I was kind of thinking more along the lines of what we can do better, basically, I think is, so from maybe just two questions, I guess. One is from a uni point of view. What is it that you think that should be being done? And then maybe from the other side, from, you know, working in architecture, what, as employers, what can they do? Yeah, how can we best prepare people?
I would say for university students, I would probably say helping them engage with institutions like CIAT. So I was told about CIAT several times, but I didn't actually understand how to engage with it. So I had a student account, but I didn't necessarily develop anything from the student account. And so I think maybe having some representatives coming early on into universities and sort of talk about, you know, the chartership journey and what is architectural technology beyond, you know, university. And what they could expect. Yeah, I'd probably say holding workshops in universities just to help students with, you know, the CV, the portfolio, because I think CVs are quite different to the standard CVs. Like architecture CVs aren't necessarily the same as like a law or a finance or so sort of just helping you with that, building those CV, portfolio skills, interview skills, maybe even a session to bring you up to speed with what's actually at the forefront of architectural technology or architecture at the moment, letting you know what to expect or what the trends are at the moment, just helping you in that sort of sense so you are better prepared and you know what to expect. Or even the building regulations, maybe just helping them to understand that, because that is a very key part of when you're designing any building. And so, yeah, I think that those are some things for uni students.
And then from kind of that kind of recruitment point of view, or if we're, you know, what can employers do better when we bring in graduate ATs, for instance? Because I'm guessing it's a bit similar, isn't it? There's probably things we can do too.
I'd say from an employer's perspective, I would probably say maybe not necessarily having a program, but some sort of program that would put you on. So you, because from university, you sort of understand how criteria works and, you know, how to meet standards and, you know, tick certain boxes. And so I think maybe for the first 1 to 2 years when you've got like early careers as an employer, I'd probably maybe come up with some sort of checklist or program that they can continue to look back and refer to ensure that they are progressing and they are, you know, hitting different knowledge milestones or technical milestones, just so that they understand that, I guess, there is a development program. It's not just for them, like them figuring it out on their own. Like the employer is actually actively engaging, helping you to progress in your career. And I guess that's what CIAT do with their aspiration at the moment that they have. And that sort of helps you build the confidence and the knowledge and everything that you need to equip you better. But I would say definitely have some sort of program within the first 1 to 2 years to support you to, you know, transition smoothly into industry.
Yeah, no, that's really helpful. And I guess, again, maybe from that CIAT point of view, you were in aspirations? No, but you were part of the CIAT.
I was part of CIAT, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess aspirations is helpful there, but I guess it's more, it's how we get more part of these things. And I think it's growing a lot now, which is really good. But I guess, I'm here a long time and you graduated a while ago. So it's maybe things weren't the same as what they are now. So how do you share that? But there's still a lot of similarities by the sounds of it in terms of where those gaps are.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would say so.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'd say from like the conversations that I've had with some students and final year that are about to graduate, they definitely share the same sentiments that I had. Mm. And I guess that's what makes life after uni really powerful, because there's a relatable voice. And so it feels like, okay, yeah, I am seen, like I am understood. Like it's not just me, or there are people that can relate to what I went through, and it's not just me. So yeah.
No, it's never just that one person.
No, it's not.
Always good to speak out. But again, I know it's difficult. Yes. Some people are a bit uncomfortable doing that. And that's absolutely fine. But you kind of need to, it's good just to have that kind of group of people who share the same things that you're thinking. And yeah, this is not an easy industry to be in, full stop. So the more we can help people and support. So what you're doing is absolutely wonderful. So I think
Thank you so much.
And I think supporting people to come into construction industry, male or female, it's just really difficult right now. So what we can do and what you're doing is fantastic. And I think this probably leads on nicely to what is the vision for life after uni? And, you know, what do you want to gain out of it? And I think I know the answer, but what is next? Or what do you want to do?
I'd say my vision for life after uni architecture is to become a recognized platform that genuinely bridges the gap between education and practice. I guess just to help steer the right conversations and help the industry understand that early careers really need the support in that critical time to transition smoothly. And I guess with life after uni architecture, the vision is to create that space and create more opportunities for students, for graduates, for early careers to join workshops, join or maybe even partner with some institutions like CIAT, and to ensure that people understand that there are, you know, spaces like this that they can come to work together to solve, I guess, the problem at the moment where it is quite difficult to bridge the gap between education and practice. And probably say beyond that, it's about sort of changing the culture of the industry and just ensuring that we know it's not a gate-kept industry. It is actually accessible. It is something that you can stay in, and there is longevity, and you can have successful careers out of it. It's just, I guess, changing that sort of narrative and perspective that early careers probably have sometimes starting out early on. I'd say there's quite a lot to do.
And then in that kind of short term, so you're doing webinars and walks and...
Yes.
What are the bits you're doing? Tell me about what's kind of planned next.
So I'm looking to hold, I guess, workshops. So Revit workshops, even technical detailing as well, just to help in that sort of sense. CV portfolios sort of workshops. And then perhaps partner with some manufacturers just so people can, you know, go on site, experience what that's really like, just to get an understanding of, you know, the wider industry as opposed to just architecture, because there's a lot of layers to architecture. It's not just, you know, being an architectural technologist or an architect. And even more architectural walk-in tours would be really good as well. And holding more webinars with different disciplines. So I had, I think, an interior designer, and we sort of sat down and had a chat and saw how they took their degree from doing that to starting their own business or other things. And it's just sort of opening that conversation. So those are the things I'm doing at the moment.
Excellent. And just because you've maybe had a different path and led into architecture, you can do that.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you're not.
Yeah, you don't have to feel boxed in or trapped. Like, you can use all the skill sets that you've learned from university and sort of go in and do something maybe completely different. But we would like to retain you, but if you would like to, you know, do something else, that is also an option.
Yeah. No, it's fabulous. Charlotte, that's been absolutely fantastic, and it's great to hear what you're doing, and it's really, really encouraging, and you're happy to support you in that. And I think the more we can do to support young people and bridge those gaps, because it's evident, and it's probably across a lot of industries, I'm sure, but I just do think our industry is quite a tough one, because you can go in so many different ways, and it's where's the focus?
Yeah, where's the focus? Yeah.
And you do sometimes need that someone to help you.
To just get along. It's just, it's genuine. I see it like a bridge, honestly, like just helping, just ushering you across the bridge until you're, you know, ready to sort of continue that. But I think the first year to about the third year is probably the most critical, because that's that shift is quite difficult, that I definitely noticed. Mm. And so, yeah, if there was anything to sort of look at, it's probably the first 1 to 3 years when you graduate. Yeah. And when you're in practice.
And try and get something in ahead of that, isn't it, what you're saying? Try and get a bit more implementation.
Yeah, yeah. Uni. Try and get, yeah, do that before, yeah.
Do before, but
be prepared, I mean, at university.
Yeah, into that big bad life. We think it's one thing, it might be
it's
another.
Fun.
Really fun. If today's conversation has resonated with you, whether you're a student, a graduate, or just starting out, this is your reminder that you're not navigating this journey alone. And that's really true, I think, in this on this platform. Spaces like LAU, Life After Uni, and memberships to professional bodies like CAIT are helping to open up professions, making it more accessible, more transparent, and more connected. And that can only be a good thing for the future of architectural technology. A huge thanks to Charlotte for sharing your insights and the incredible work you've been doing to support the next gen. And if you'd like to learn more or get involved, we'll share details in the show notes. And thank you for listening to Where It's At.
You've been listening to Where It's At. A huge thanks to our guests and to you for listening. Want to learn more about architectural technology, how to progress your career, or how to work with a chartered architectural technologist? Head to architecturaltechnology.com to find out more. The contents and views expressed by individuals in the Where It's At podcast are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of the companies they work for or the host. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as advice.